Welcome to Women Writing Men. I'm Delaney. I'm here with Mariah.
I wasn't sure if you were going to say my name or let me say it.
I wasn't sure either. Welcome to episode 23. We're pretty sure. And today we're going to do Bridgerton. We're going to do Bridgerton book two because Mariah thought it would be fun because the second season of Bridgerton is coming out on
March 25th.
Yeah. Yeah. I haven't seen the first season of Bridgerton, nor have I read the first book, but Mariah did.
I watched the show and read the book.
Yeah. And then, because I was like, do I need to read the first book in order to know what's going on in the second one? And Mariah was like, no, they're totally separate.
And did you feel that?
Yeah. I was like, I guess, like, spoiler, you find out that Daphne gets married. So I feel like if you read, like, I don't even know, because it, when you pick up a romance, you're not like, are they going to get together?
You know. They
are. So the only question is, like, how do they get together? So even if you picked up, like, the last one and you knew every spouse's name, I think you'd be...
Not super surprised.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You could still have a good time reading it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this week we're doing The Viscount, Who Loved Me, by Julia Quinn.
We haven't talked about their names yet. I know the boy's name because he was in Bridgerton. I think I'm better at remembering show name characters. Okay. So also, just fun fact for you, in the show, he's called Anthony.
Okay.
Not Anthony.
Okay, we can call him Anthony then.
So it is about Anthony Bridgerton. Mm-hmm. He is the oldest child in the Bridgerton family.
Yeah.
He's in his 30s.
Yeah.
And he's decided that it's the first season, and season is when they all, like, get together.
Yeah,
they
call it's it. The it's the, like, season of getting balls married. And yeah.
You go, women are going to find their husbands, and husbands are going to find their wives and get married by the end of the season.
Yeah.
So he decides it's time to get married.
Yeah.
And he picks his woman. He, like, finds out who's the one, the best one, and he's like, okay, I'm going to pick her. Her name is Edwina. I remember her name.
Yeah.
And he decides, because she's the prettiest in the town, basically. Like, that's why he's picked her.
Yeah.
Oh, and I remember her sister's name, too. Like, how, this is amazing. Kate.
Yeah.
And Kate is her older sister, and...
Edwina's older sister.
Is yeah. Edwina's older sister. And Kate is going to get in the way because she thinks Anthony is, like, a player.
Rake.
A rake is what they call it. A rake. He's not good for her sister.
Yeah.
And then...
Things
unfold in ways you would never expect as Anthony gets to know Edwina and Kate yeah. throughout the course of the novel.
Yeah. Yeah. So, first, what were your overall thoughts on?
I mean, it was just like the romance
that you would expect
that
it to be.
You would expect it to be. Exactly. Nothing like.
Super
hard-hitting.
Yeah, shocking happened.
No. You assume what you assume pretty quickly, and it's what happens.
Did you enjoy it?
I enjoyed it. The only other thing, which is a thing that is about me having read Bridgerton, the first one, which was called The Duke Who and I, The Duke and I.
You looked at me as if I would answer that question.
The first one was called The Duke and I, which is about Daphne and Simon, which is the first season of Bridgerton. And the books are, like, literally the same. I mean, I might talk about some of the things that I'm like, you're doing the same thing again. So I think it would honestly be better for you who didn't read the first one, who's not like, you're doing the same thing here. Oh, it's here
it's
too.
Again.
Oh, that yeah. else. If you, like, you know, she plans on making another, how many siblings are there? Eight?
Yeah.
A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H. Yeah.
Yeah.
Eight. She's making eight books of this, and I'm like, already in the second book, you're just repeating.
Like, you're bored of the pattern by the second book.
And I'm like, what's gonna happen next?
Yeah.
There's six more kids to go. Yeah.
Like, part of it is, like, romances like that do need to be kind of formulaic. Like, that's just how the romance industry is. But, yeah, I enjoyed it. I was like, it didn't feel, like, really fresh. Like, wow, what a... What a fresh and different take on historical kind of romance. But I did enjoy it. Like, mm-hmm. it was definitely, like, a very enjoyable entry into it. And actually, there's one part specifically where I was like, this is actually really good compared to some of the other books we've read.
Cool. I'm excited to hear that part.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, I don't know, might surprise you. So, the very start of the book, we learn about Antony's relationship with his father, Edmund, which is important.
Yes, very important.
Because Edmund, his father, died pretty young. He was like 38 or something.
Yep, 38, that's what I wrote.
So, yeah, Edmund was 38 when he died, and Antony was like, how old?
18.
No.
Yeah.
He was younger.
No.
What? He was 18?
Yes.
I thought he was like 8 years old.
No, Daphne was 10, and he's 8 years older than Daphne.
Okay. He's a lot older than Daphne.
Yeah, because he's the oldest brother, and then it goes Antony, Benedict, Simon, and Daphne.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. Yeah. For some reason, I was like, Daphne was the second child.
No.
No, there's like there's a bunch of kid boys in there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so, yeah, there's a lot of children, for starters, but we don't... We'll address some of them, but not all of them, because we don't need to address all of them.
No.
Antony, like, really looked up to Edmund. He was like, this father is the best father ever. They had such a beautiful childhood, and then Edmund dies of a bee sting.
Yes.
Like, he was stung by a bee and just...
Died. Yeah,
just died.
Yeah.
And Antony is like, I will never be as good as my father, and so I will never surpass him.
Literally meaning, I will die before I'm 38.
I will die at 38, because I will... Or, like, yeah.
Like, I will never pass him.
Yeah. I can never be better than my father, essentially.
Yeah. And to be better would be... He's speaking both in terms of, like, the kind of man his father was, but also, so, literally, I will never be 39 years old.
Yeah, I can't get to 39. And there's, like, a disclaimer at the end of the book.
I know. I really wished, honestly, she'd put it at the beginning.
Because, yeah.
I judged him so hard the whole book for this.
Both about, like, so she puts a disclaimer about, like...
The bee sting.
The bee sting and about... And
about Antony's, like, mental health regarding his father.
Yeah, and that it is a real thing that there are a lot of people, when their parent dies young, they genuinely are like, I can't possibly live far longer than that.
She also said it was specifically a male characteristic, yeah. And she said... I hope that women reading this, I know my audience is not men, and I hope that women are able to read this and accept this about Antony and just kind of take it in. And I was like, I did not take it in. I judged him so hard for this the whole book. And now at the end, I'm like, oh, I wish I'd known this so that I wouldn't have judged him.
As harshly as I did.
I did.
Yeah, I felt it was like silly for like quite a long, not silly, like I could get it, but there was just points where I'm like, okay, dude, you're just like...
Like, you're being so still, illogical.
Yeah. And then the bee sting thing, it is like an allergy to bee stings. Sometimes you don't have the severe allergic reaction until the second time.
Yes. And so it was mentioned that he had been stung by a bee before, mm-hmm. and this was the second sting. So they're like, how did it kill him?
Yeah.
And that's she says why. At the end, that one I was fine.
Yeah.
For that one bee sting.
Yeah, I was like, honestly, yeah, I'll buy it that he just randomly died of a bee sting.
Yeah, but the whole
basis of Antony's character.
Yeah.
Was, yeah, that was.
And that I couldn't relate to it. I'm like, you fool. Just, like, be okay with this. And he was not.
Yeah, so the thing about Bridgerton as well is it's, like, old-timey gossip girl. There's Lady Whistledown's papers.
Yeah.
And at the beginning of the chapters, she'll write That's a little...
That's funny. I never, like, even... I don't think I mentioned Lady Whistledown one time.
Really?
In my notes. She seems so irrelevant to me. Like, who cares what she's doing?
I sometimes enjoyed her little asides.
Her little asides.
I thought they were kind of amusing.
She was much bigger of a deal in the show. Mm-mm. Who was she? And Eloise spends the whole season one trying to figure out who Lady Whistledown is. And that is not a plot in the first book, and it is not a plot in the second book.
I wonder if it's a plot in her book.
I wonder.
Yeah. But, yeah, so we're introduced to Kate and her... Okay, so Kate's the heroine. Edwina is her half-sister. Mm-hmm. Kate had a different...
Mother. Different mother. They have the same dad.
They have the same dad? Okay. Yeah, so Kate had her father and mother... Kate's mother died young. Her father remarried. Mary
had a baby, Edwina.
Yeah.
And then her father died as well.
Yeah.
So now she's being raised by her stepmother.
Yeah. Her stepmother, Mary, and then her sister, Edwina. Half-sister, Edwina. And so Kate is 21, which is like, you're basically a spinster at this point. Like, you're so old, you're never going to marry.
But the reason why, because she's also never gone to...
She's never had a season in London.
Yeah, but they are not, like, financially well off. And so they were waiting for Edwina to get old enough so that they could do one season. And
with both girls.
We'll get them both done. One season, we're through. Yeah. So she is 21 because Edwina's only 17.
Yeah.
And, like, she couldn't have entered at 16. That's too young. So yeah. Edwina's in quite early. Mm-hmm. And Kate is, like...
Late. Yeah.
But Kate's okay with this. I liked Kate right off the get-go. She's like, I'm not that attractive. I'm not gonna marry, and I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
I'll be content. And I'm like, finally!
Yeah. Yeah. What a refreshing attitude. Kate and Edwina and Mary are sitting and talking about Lady Whistledown and that they're gonna get married this season. Mm-hmm. And then Anthony sits down with his brothers and is like, I'm gonna get married this season.
And his brothers are like, what?
This is so crazy. And then he's like, yeah, I'm gonna marry Edwina. She's the best one. Everyone knows Lady Whistledown's like, yeah, Edwina's the prettiest.
So that's who I'm gonna pick. Yep. We're good. It's also at this moment, though, that we find out that he has made a vow to never marry for love.
Yeah. And that's related to this thing with his dad, where he's like, if I marry and I'm really in love, then I'm going to be really sad to die. So he's like, I just won't marry for love so that I won't be as sad when I die.
Yes. He's just going to marry because he needs to have an heir because he is a Viscount.
Yeah. And so he's like, I have to do my familial duties. And Edwina seems smart and pretty and she'll make an attractive child. So we're good.
And he was like, as long as she's someone that is pleasant to have sex with, it'll be fine. Yeah. And I'll still have my own girl on the side. Like, yeah. It'll be a good life.
Yeah.
I did not like him as much. I wrote here, too, that I might need to look up what a Viscount is. Mm-hmm. And I did. I don't remember, but we'll see if I wrote it later. In chapter one, I'm like, what is a Viscount? And I didn't write it down. I looked it up. Like, I was like, how are they connected to royalty, and are they? And I did look it up, so we'll see if it's talked about.
I have Googled this at some point. Duke is, like, highest.
Viscount is second.
Second highest.
Yeah.
And then it's, like, Earl is third.
I don't remember the rest. Baron is one of them, too.
I think Baron might be the lowest, but...
But Viscount, from what I can remember, and we'll see if
I think it's second highest.
But, and it's also, like, in the real world, they're often appointed, mm-hmm. and it's not by this bloodline thing.
No.
What that is implied here.
Oh, okay.
Because in his world, he needs to have an heir so that he can have a new Viscount.
I thought he was
the Viscount because his dad was the Viscount.
Yeah, but I thought it was, like, a property thing, essentially. Like...
And they manage things.
Yeah, I think the Viscount is allotted property by the queen or whatever. And so then that property, which often will have like villages and shit on
yes.
it. Yes.
It's his.
It's his, and then it'll be passed down to his son or whatever.
So maybe at some point someone gets it. Can new Viscounts be appointed?
I think so, if there was new land or if like some land was abandoned by a family.
Or I guess if a family died out.
Yeah, for some reason.
Well, if they had daughters.
I guess, and all the daughters married off.
Yeah, but they wouldn't, even if they were not married off, they wouldn't be able to take over the land
yeah.
in that time.
Yeah, so, yeah, that's how we think Viscounts work.
Based on our own random thoughts.
Yes! Yeah.
But maybe I wrote it down and we'll see.
Chapter 2, I have Kate interacts with Colin Bridgerton. And so they must be at this dance.
They're at the dance.
Yeah, so Colin is the... Third brother.
I like
it's
Colin.
A, B, C, D, E, F, G.
Yeah. Colin's my favorite of the brothers. But I have much more context.
Yeah. I met him for like 4 seconds and I was like, why does she have unreasonable chemistry with Colin? Like, why is Colin so hot? Like, because we had already been introduced to Anthony and I was just like, but Colin's pretty hot though, right?
Yeah. I said, I like Colin. He's feisty.
Yeah.
I wonder what book is his.
Yeah.
Because I would be down to read his. I don't really care about Edwin? E. No, not, that's Eloise. What's that? Or Benedict.
Yeah. Yeah. I was ambivalent about Benedict. But Colin sounded fun. because he meets Kate and finds out that Kate doesn't like Antony.
Oh, right. This was great.
Yeah, so he finds out Kate does not like Antony, and Colin's like, you have to meet my brother. Because you're essentially going to hate him.
Yes.
Like, and it's going to be hilarious.
Yes.
And so he, like, he... I'm trying to figure out how to describe this. He, like, interacts with Kate briefly, and then he's like, you have to meet my brother. And she's like, sure, when, maybe at some point, right? And so then Colin, like, basically grabs Antony and, like, beelines over for her. And she's like, what a delight to see you so soon again.
Antony. Because you missed the fact that Antony and her met already, too, in the hallway.
Did they?
Yeah, isn't that how they meet first?
No. I think it's like this.
Who does she meet first?
Colin.
In the hallway?
Yeah, she meets Colin in the hallway, and then Colin, like, finds her again immediately later with Antony. Because I literally wrote the quote. She's like, what a delight to see you again. And so unexpectedly soon after our last encounter.
I thought that was about Antony. I'm so confused. Okay.
Yeah. Anyway.
Keep going.
And then I wrote, somehow Antony decides to dance with her. There's, like, it's, like, some sort of, like, they're talking to each other.
And he's saying he's going to marry Edwina.
Yeah. And then she's, and then Edwina has, like, publicly declared that she will only marry someone with her sister's approval.
Yes. Like, which Antony's not impressed with.
Yeah.
Like, who cares about what your sister says?
Yeah. And then he's also like, I'll win your favor so that I can marry your sister. So then he ends up dancing with her. And they dance. So yeah, chapter three, they dance for the first time. And he, like, takes her dislike of him as a challenge.
Yeah.
Like, and he's like, I'm going to get you to like me. And she, like, steps on his feet a bunch while they're dancing.
Like, purposely?
Yeah. And, like, purposely and kind of accidentally. Like, she's pretty clumsy. And then later, she's like, you didn't win me over, essentially. Like, at the end of the dance, she's like, it didn't work.
Yeah.
I still don't like you.
Yeah.
And then he later comes to call at their house, and he brings flowers for Edwina, but also brings flowers for Kate and Mary.
Yes.
And Kate is, like, secretly, like, no one ever brings me flowers because I'm an old spinster.
Yes. Like, she has received no calls.
Yeah,
she's
gotten no calls, like, no interest and no flowers. Like, yeah. There's a ton of flowers for Edwina because Edwina is, like, intensely beautiful. Mm-hmm. So she's like, secretly, this is a really sweet gesture. And
but
she knows,
I can't let him know because then he'll think he's
got my
beating me down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, the other critical thing that we forgot to mention, when they were at the dance and meeting for the first time, he says, you're as beautiful as your sister to her.
And she really doesn't like that.
Because she knows that Edwina is prettier.
So he's like, she's like, you're just saying what you need to say.
Yeah, like, that was the worst lie you could have told to me. Because
like, no, but that's not true.
Yeah.
So the fact that you're saying that means that I know you're just trying to get my sister and aren't actually genuine.
Yeah, like, you could have used any kind of, like,
other
flattery,
compliment,
like, thing to do. But that one is, like, the one that bugs her.
Also, I mean, it's kind of, we've already touched on this. The other reason why she's so not interested in Antony is because he, like, is a player.
Yeah.
Like,
he spent the last, like, 10 years playing the game.
Like, he sleeps with everyone except for girls who are going to go into the season.
Yeah.
Because the girls who are going to go in the season are pure.
And have reputations and stuff. But, like, any other woman he will get with. Yeah.
And so there she's like, why is he going to change? He's not going to change.
Yeah.
This is who he is.
Yeah, he's just playing the
game. Once a rake, always a rake.
Yeah. So chapter four, we're introduced to her dog, Newton.
I didn't get the dog. I buzz bob. I have so much more to say about the dog than I have about so much else that's happened so far.
Yeah.
Her dog, what's that kind of dog?
Corgi.
Corgi.
Yeah.
Super, like, matching the historical time.
Yeah.
Kind of dog.
I wrote, there's reasonably clever banter, and in this book, there is more, because it switches between POVs, so there's more discussion of her smell than his smell.
Oh, really? I don't remember the smell.
He talks about her smelling, like, exotic lilies and sensible soap. Which, I think, I don't know, I was like, that's cute. I like that he just is like, she smells like soap.
Which she should smell like.
Yeah.
It's one of the most normal smells we've had. And I'm also, like, the times, I would very surely expect her to be putting on flowery-smelling perfume and bathing herself.
Yes.
So it was so accurate. Good job, Julia.
Yeah. So I wrote for chapter four is there is dog-induced chaos. So yes. Do you want to try to describe what happens?
Okay, so well, the first dog-induced chaos is her stepmom is terrified of this dog. And I'm like, how do you exist in the house? She, like, doesn't want to go in the same room as it. I'm like, where is it usually? Where are you usually? That bothered me. I'm like, how are you living with this dog? Anthony wants to talk to Edwina, but she's not in. Mm-hmm. So he's like, I'll just wait. And Kate's like, no, you can't wait here. Like, it could be, like,
hours. More,
yeah.
Yeah, because Edwina's gone out with another man. Yeah.
And he's like, no, I'll wait. It's fine. And then Kate's like, I guess I'll take my dog for a walk. Like, I don't want to be here with him. And then Mary is like, go with her, Anthony. Go with her. So now they have to go for this walk. And as they're walking, this is when all the good banter is happening. And the dog, like, breaks free and is now running away.
Yeah.
And they have to chase it through...
Fields, I don't know.
Like, they've gone to this place that sounds like there's, like, horse-drawn carriage. Like, it sounds like they've gone to this park.
Yeah.
And the dog is just running wild. And then the dog sees Edwina, so she, like, it goes after Edwina, but Edwina's really close to the river. So Edwina falls into the river.
River, because the carriage is, like, broken.
Broken.
Yeah.
That's right. So she's... the man is trying to fix the carriage.
Yeah.
The dog runs into her. She falls into the river.
Yeah.
And then Anthony has to, like, pull her out of the river.
Yeah.
And I, like, laughed out loud because I thought that Kate was so... She's, like, got good wit.
Yeah.
So he's, like, pissed at Kate. He's like, you caused all this to happen.
Yeah, like, your dog has made me wet now.
Like, I think he's ruined one of his shoes and his glove is wet.
Yeah, like, really upset about it.
And she says to him, he's like, it's your fault. Your dog did this. And she's like, yes, I know the secret language of the corgis. I ordered the dog to yank the lead from my hand. And then since I have the second sight, I knew that Edwina was standing right here by the Serpentine, which is the river.
Yeah.
So then I said to the dog, through our powerful mind-to-mind connection, since he was much too far to hear my voice, to change direction, head to Edwina, and topple her into the lake. And like, that was her response, and I was like, this is so good.
Yeah! She really was, like... When I was, like, there was good banter, like, it was very enjoyable banter.
Yeah, I don't often laugh out loud. Like, I have read books that are described as comedy.
Yeah.
And I'm not, like, laughing.
Yeah.
I'm just like, that was funny in my head.
Yeah.
But I actually was like, that's really not how it sounded like. But I read it, and I was like, that was so funny. Yeah. Like, of course she doesn't have a mind-to-mind connection with her corgi.
Yeah. Yeah, because, and, like, it also, it's just when you're at, like, this stage, you kind of, like, want to dislike him a little bit with her. Like, it's, I don't know. And I think that was where I was, like, it feels very Jane Austen. Yeah, so chapter five, we discover Kate is afraid of thunderstorms. So I assume there's a thunderstorm. There's, like, I think a thunderstorm approaching.
Yeah.
And Edwina now has a cold because she fell in the river.
She got it, like, on the same day.
Yeah.
And I was like, is this how colds worked back then? Like, in the 1800s? Because I know if you were, like, out in the cold today, you have a risk of getting sick because your immune system is lower. But it's not like, oh, man, 2 hours ago it was raining and I was outside and now I have a cold. It's like, 3 days ago I was outside in the rain and I wasn't properly protected and now I've got a cold.
Yeah.
But she literally gets a cold. And it's so bad. She's, like, out for days.
Yeah. So, yeah. Mary makes Kate go to Bridgerton.
The Bridgerton house. They're doing, like, an opera?
Yeah, some sort of musical thingy.
Yeah. And she does not want to go because she's like, what's the point? I'm only going to find out whether these men are suitable for Edwina.
Yeah.
And Mary's like, no, you're also going to get you a husband.
Yeah. Yeah. And, like, that's the thing. Like, Kate... is really, like, she does not believe that she is there to get a husband. No. Like, she's like, Edwina's going to get a husband.
And I'm just there to make sure Edwina gets the right one.
Yeah. And it's not, like, she's not opposed to getting a husband. Like, she's a little bit like, I'd rather just be on my own. But she also just doesn't think, like, men are going to be interested in her at all because she's not as pretty as Edwina. So So I wrote, Anthony had an intense sex dream about her. So yeah, he had this sex dream about her, and then he like feels around in his bed to see if it was a wet dream. And then my note is he feels around for the semen. Which is like the funniest thing to me. But yeah, he really like, he's pretty upset about having this sex dream about Kate. Like, yes. He's like, I don't like her. No. She's so horrible.
Yes. And he's like, Edwina's the girl. I mean, she's not even the girl. I just keep writing so often. My notes are just repeating. I think this stupid vow is so stupid.
Like his thought process.
His thought process. He's like, oh, can't have this stupid sex dream about her because I'm supposed to marry Edwina, but I know I'll never love Edwina, so this is perfect because I can't marry for love because, and I'm like, why?
Yeah.
I just like, I kept going back to why, and I know he says, because I don't want, but they have the pain and all. Yeah. I'm like, this is so dumb. Yeah. Over and over and over. I'm like, every time he mentions it, I'm like, these are not good reasons. And just so you know, the reason why I felt this specifically is in the first book, Simon makes a vow as well.
Yeah.
And his vow is, I will not marry ever. And that is because his father was like abusive and a bad man. And he was like, I do not want to, A, give my father what he wants, which is like for the Duke line to continue, because Simon is a Duke and he wants to like
end
his father's reign with him. So he's like, I'm never going to marry and I'm never going to have children because my dad sucks. I don't want him to get what he wants. And I also, he's also afraid
of becoming like him.
Yeah. Yes. And I thought Simon's vow was dumb.
Because it's just like, be better than
your
dad then and find your own happiness.
And that's what Daphne convinces him.
Yeah.
And then they get married and have children. But at least with his dad was an ass butt.
Yeah, this is just...
This is just like, my dad was so great. I don't want that.
Yeah, I would hate to have a good life like my dad.
And so I just so often kept contrasting and thinking like, at least Simon had a bad dad. But you're literally trying to deprive yourself.
Yeah.
Like, for no...
Yeah, whereas I'm reading it and I'm just like... All right, I guess Anthony's just got this thing.
It drove me nuts. Anyways.
Yeah, so then at this Bridgerton event, the singer lady there is one of the ladies that Anthony has had.
She's like a big important character in the first book.
Oh.
Or first, no. Scratch. Not in the book, in the show.
Oh, okay.
I think they changed her name, but throughout the whole season one, he's like sleeping with this woman.
Oh, wow.
Like the whole season.
I wonder if that's just to make this, like,
I think that
more impactful.
Well, and they added all the characters and storylines. Colin had a romance in season one.
Okay.
And in the books, the only person who gets romance is the character at hand. But they're trying to create an 8-season show.
Yeah, so.
And they have to make sure that we're interested in Anthony once it's his season.
Yeah.
So they gave them all stories.
Yeah, that is interesting.
So when she came, I was like, hey!
Hey, it's her!
It's her!
Yeah, so then while Kate is at this party, she's like, I really don't want to talk to Anthony. So then she, like, hides in this room to avoid talking to Anthony.
But the room is his office. and he comes with the opera lady.
Yeah, and so then she hides under the desk.
While they're, like, kissing.
Yeah.
And he says, oh, see, this, I really struggled with him. Because as he's talking to the mistress, she's like, I heard you're, like...
looking to marry.
Yeah, and he's like... Yeah, but I'm gonna keep you.
Yeah, like I'm never gonna love my wife.
Yeah, I'm just gonna marry her, and I'm gonna have whoever I want on the side.
Yeah,
like it's gonna be fine. And I'm like, ugh, ugh. And Kate's hearing this. I'm like, oh, no. Oh.
Yeah, like no wonder she's like, you're not getting with
my sister.
Yeah. So then he
like sees
her, and then he like tells opera lady to leave.
Yeah,
and then he like. Like, there's a weird interaction where he's, like, trying to get opera lady to leave, and, like, he kicks her under the desk, and she, like, bites him or something. Like, I don't know. But it was really funny to me. Yeah, so then they have this confrontation. She gets out from under the desk. And they have this confrontation, and he kisses her.
Yeah, I didn't like it. I had so much to say about this, too.
Go ahead, then.
Okay, so, I mean, I wrote, he's going to defile her. And the reason why, and again, this would be a reason that you don't have as strongly, in Daphne's book, mm-hmm. Simon defiles Daphne, but they have already fallen in love. They're already in love. They kiss. Simon sees it and then they duel. Like, Simon and Antony duel.
Yeah, Antony sees that Simon has kissed her.
Yes. So now he's like, you have to marry my sister. And he refuses because of his dumb vow.
Yeah.
And they go to duel.
Yeah.
And then Daphne stops them and convinces Simon to marry her before either of them kill each other.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking all of this and I'm thinking, like, you were going to kill Simon, who is your best friend, for defiling the woman he loved.
Yeah.
And here you are defiling a woman who you continually tell us you don't even like. Like, you have such bad standards.
Yeah.
And you, like, he treated Simon so terribly.
Yeah.
And then did the same thing with less cause.
Yeah. Yeah.
His cause was, maybe if I kiss her, I'll stop having sex dreams about her. And I was like, this is so, ugh.
Yeah. So then they yell at each other. And then, so she calls him a liar because he implies that he could love Edwina. And she's like, no, I just heard you say you're never going to love Edwina. And he sort of realizes that he might be able to love her, Kate. Like, love Kate. And that's where they leave it, I think.
He says to him in his own head, is he now that he's done this, he's going to try to marry Edwina even harder. Like, now it's like this vendetta against Kate, almost, like, to prove.
Yeah.
I could love Kate, so I really, really got to marry Edwina.
Yeah.
And I don't understand, like, why Kate doesn't tell Edwina about all of this that's going on. She, like, keeps all of this from her because Edwina's, like, kind of, like, into this, pursuit from Antony. And I'm like, dude, just tell your sister.
I think it's, like, a good marriage, technically. Even though, to marry, it would be a good marriage. And, like, there's money and stuff.
I guess so.
And they need, just because they're poor.
But she's sacrificing her sister for this man?
I know. I don't know. Maybe she's just, like, yeah, I don't know why she doesn't just tell Edwina, like, he kissed me. Like,
he kissed me, and he told me that he plans to have mistress. Like, he didn't tell me, but I overheard that he's going to have mistresses, that he doesn't want to marry you for love, and Edwina wants love, too, I think.
Yeah.
But Edwina understands that if she can't marry for love because she needs to marry for money, she will. Mm-hmm. But, like, I'm sure she's, like, the talk of the town. She could find another man who has a little less money than the Viscount.
Yeah.
And he'd still be fine. Bothers me.
Yeah. So chapter 8, Lady Bridgerton, like, his mother has another party.
I'm sorry. I, like, I'm just complaining about his stupid vow again. That's all I do in this chapter. Keep going. I'll tell you my complaint after.
Antony decides to propose to Edwina.
Really?
Okay. Yeah, he's planning to propose at this point. And this is when, Lady Bridgerton has first met the Sheffields, which is Kate and Mary and Edwina. Kate goes out to walk in the gardens, and then Lady Bridgerton is like, Antony, go say hi to Kate in the gardens.
No, she doesn't go to. She doesn't say, go say hi to Kate. She just
says, she says, you should go for a walk
go
in the gardens.
Go look in the gardens. We planted new roses.
Yeah, so and then he goes. And then he apologizes about the kiss.
Yeah.
And then they talk. But I don't know if anything else important is said. You just complain about his vow of not love.
Yeah, so what I wrote was, he says to himself he wants to live up to his father, and then he talks about how his father's greatest achievement was presiding over his family with laughter and love, and I said, one way to fail would be to marry without love, you dolt! I want to be the man my father was. He loved us so. But I will not marry for love. That will never achieve my father dreamed for me. Yeah. Oh, I felt like he was so dumb. And then what else did I write? I'm complaining again. That's just what I But I don't fully understand what it was. Maybe you remember the reference. He says that he doesn't have room in his life for bonds thicker than blood. And I said, why are you so busy?
I mean, I feel like he might have been like, I have fucking 8 siblings.
Oh, Yeah. Okay. Vaguely recall. So he was saying to himself, I can't remember if it was to himself or if it was to Kate, but he was like, I don't have time for a wife. I'm so busy
running
the estate. Like, if you have a strong bond with your wife, then
she
it's...
She can help.
Yeah, she can help. Or, like, the relationship is better.
Yeah, and easier.
And easier when your wife's supportive of the fact that you are, like, you fool! None of this makes sense. Like, it would be better to marry someone who loves you because then you'll have someone keen to support you while you're busy.
Yeah. Chapter 9, they play Pall Mall, which is, like, croquet, I gathered.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do they play it in the show? Not yet.
Not yet. This is the first time they didn't play it in the book, first book either.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so Kate has this interaction with Colin and Daphne, and so Kate and Edwina are both going to play, and so Antony goes to get Edwina, and he takes a really long time, which bothers Kate.
Yeah. But his reason was not, like, it was because Edwina was late, but he totally played it off like it was, like, because I was spending time with your sister.
Losing your sister. Yeah. Yeah. And, and so, yeah, then throughout the game of playing Pall Mall, Kate hits his ball into the lake.
Yeah, like, her goal is not to win. It's to make sure he loses.
Yeah. Because he does something dickish to her first.
Yeah.
Like, he's, like, kind of dickish to her, and then...
They also make him use the pink ball, and he's really pissed off about that.
Yeah.
And they're like, it's going to be great. Like, Daphne and Colin are like, this is going to be great!
Yeah. And he, like, he usually uses, like, the black ball.
But
and...
Kate took it?
But Kate took it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, at one point, Simon's like... I gotta take Daphne. I gotta get Daphne out of the rain.
Because she's pregnant.
Because she's pregnant. I'm like, yeah, pregnant women can't get wet. Very dangerous. But maybe he meant because she could get sick.
Yeah.
Because when you touch water in this universe,
you get sick.
Yeah.
And considering how sick Edwina got, I'm sure they don't want her to get that sick.
Yeah.
And be pregnant.
Yeah. But it amused me, like, pregnant women can't get wet.
Which means they're having another baby, because in the end of season one, they only have one baby. Also, the order of their babies was different in the show. Everyone, did you know Simon and Daphne had girls before they had a son?
Whoa.
They changed it in the show. They have a son first in the book.
Weird.
They have three daughters, and then they have a son.
Why? Why would they change it?
I know. I think it was because of the importance of
him,
because he didn't want to carry on the line, and they're like, look, he did!
Yeah. Yeah, so then after being terrible to each other in this game of Pall Mall, they sort of apologize, like, Kate and Antony. Antony apologized to each other. And then chapter 11...
Wait. The only thing I would note, at this point, what I felt in terms of their romance was that he was totally into her and wouldn't admit it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that she felt that way yet. I was like, she is totally behind on the...
Being into him.
Yeah.
Thing. Yeah.
When he kissed her, she liked it. And like, they have good banter.
Yeah.
But he was like...
But she still thinks he's a bad person.
Yes. And where he...
is kind of into her.
Like, but just won't admit it because he's terrified of loving...
Yeah.
Of marrying for love.
Yeah. Yeah, so chapter 11, they flirt and he, like, kind of cares what she thinks of him. Like, he wants her to like him. And then, speaking of her still thinking he's an asshole... She's like talking to this girl Penelope. And then Cressida.
Everyone else knows who people who've watched the show, Penelope is a main, pretty important character.
Okay. And then what? They just tell you that in the first season?
They do. I think it was dumb, but they do.
That is dumb.
I don't know if you want to put that in, but she is not revealed in the book, but in the end of season one, she is Whistledown.
I feel like if people are listening to our podcast about season two, they'll have watched season two, and therefore will probably have watched season one.
Okay. But yeah. Isn't that crazy?
That is wild. Yeah, so Penelope gets bullied by Cressida, and...
Cressida's also in the show.
And Grimston.
Grimston was not, but Cressida was.
And then Antony, like...
Stops the
steps
bully.
In and
like, takes Penelope in to dinner, which is a big deal.
Yeah.
And so she's like... Kate's like, maybe I misjudged how bad he really is.
Yeah, like, maybe he's not a dick. actually. Because he kind of, by taking Penelope in, like, he was putting his own social status in jeopardy.
Yeah. Another thing I noted in this chapter, which I thought was super interesting, is, I don't know who noted it, if it was him or her, but it's pointed out that she's actually quite attractive, too.
Yeah.
But she has never felt like she's attractive because her comparison is Edwina.
Who is just...
is so beautiful.
So beautiful, yeah.
So it's... I don't remember who says it. Maybe it's Anthony who's talking about it, and he's like, she never will get a match because all the men are just looking at Edwina.
Mm-hmm.
She is standing next to Edwina at all of the events.
Yeah. Yeah, like, it's just weird. Like, she's never able to stand on her own.
No.
And be judged that way. Like, she's
and so
always
she
judged.
Feels less than.
Yeah.
And I just thought it was, like, an interesting...
Yeah, it is interesting.
...way of portraying... Because I think that's so real.
And it... yeah, it's also interesting in terms of, like, I feel like you get a lot of the romance heroines who are like, oh, I'm so ugly compared to other girls. Like, oh, they're just insecure, but they're actually just stunningly gorgeous for no reason. And, like, there's no, like, real tangible reason why they're, like, why they don't think they're pretty. Like, you're just like, why don't, why?
But she has this.
This seems plausible, though.
She has this all the time where she is pretty, but she's not pretty as pretty, mm-hmm. so she doesn't get looked at. She doesn't get pursued. She doesn't get the flowers.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's also interesting, like, she doesn't hate Edwina for it. No. Like, she loves her sister. And she's
she's so confident in her insecurity.
Yeah, it made for a very, like, likable kind of insecurity, you know, where she's like, I'm not pretty. And you don't hate her. Like, you're not annoyed with her for it.
No. No, they had a good bond, her and Edwina.
Yeah.
Oh, Anthony also asks her in this chapter whether she still hates him.
Mm.
And she does not reply.
Yeah. I think that's what I wrote by, like, he cares what she thinks of him.
Yeah. Like, I was like, okay, at this point, he is shifting dramatically towards...
into caring what she thinks.
Yeah.
So, yeah, chapter 12, she can't sleep because there's a thunderstorm, and so she goes to the library because she's anxious, and then the thunderstorm hits properly, and then she is...
like, she gets underneath the table terrified, and Anthony's up working late, and so when he's going to bed, he sees, like...
a light on or something.
I guess a candle.
Yeah, in the library, and then goes.
And then he goes and finds her, and then he holds her.
Because she has a severe phobia of thunderstorms, which I was a little like, this is very romance trope-y, I feel like.
Uh-huh.
It's just...
I mean, it gives an excuse for him to hold her for a good reason.
Yeah. And, And it just feels like one of those things where, like, sort of like his fear of bee stings. Like, this one felt, I was like, I don't know about it. But later when they got to, like, the reasoning behind, I was a little more okay with it.
Yeah, he sits, I mean, what I felt about a lot of these moments was just, like, here they come. Like,
yeah, like, you knew they were coming.
You know they're going to have to come because she just despises him so much. So
we need excuses
for them to... We need excuses for her to be, like, oh.
Vulnerable with him.
Yeah.
But not, like, actually vulnerable with him.
Yeah.
But they talk about their dead fathers in this moment.
Yeah, so I'm like, okay, they've got their... that really... I mean, Edwina also has a dead father, so it's not, like...
it's not weird, necessarily, that they're talking about it. And then, okay, so... the other thing, so there's a part about this book that I liked, but one thing that made me almost cry, like...
was it the stepmom?
Yeah.
I wrote that too. Oh my goodness. It was so good. Okay, you tell it.
Yeah, so they're talking about their dead fathers, and Kate is like, you know, Mary has always been a mother to me, like, she's wonderful.
And, like Kate was a toddler when her mom died.
Yeah.
So, and her mom, or her dad married Mary...
very quickly after.
So, like, you know, she's now 3 or 4, and Mary has been her mom for the last 15 years.
Yeah, and, like, the reason her father married so quickly is he was like, she needs a mother.
Yeah.
And so she talks about that Mary used to go to her mom's grave and, like, tell her about how Kate was doing. I'm, like, gonna cry talking about it. Like, I was like, oh my god. That's so nice.
Yeah, it
like,
is.
Like... and it's hilarious, like, that immediately gets me emotional, but, like, a lot of this book did nothing.
I don't remember. I didn't write that I cried, but I loved it.
I was, it, like, immediately. I was like, that's so sweet.
Like, she would just tell her how she was doing, and she would tell her, like, I'm trying my best with your daughter. Yeah. Like, I want your daughter to be my daughter.
Yeah.
But she's also still your daughter, so I'm going to tell you about her life.
About how she's doing. It's just, it's like, I don't know, man. It was too much for me.
It was pretty good.
And then Kate also told her mom how Mary was doing. Like, she would sit at the grave and be like, Mary's doing a good job. Oh, my God.
And then we get to chapter 13, 14. I wrote them together, and I just think it's so, like...
Yeah. Oh, so...
They're back in the garden!
They are back in the garden. Kate and Anthony in the garden. And she says it's okay for him to pursue her sister because he was nice to her.
She's seen him in this new way, and she's like, maybe he can...
He's a good person. Yeah.
He hasn't addressed the fact that he still wants mistresses, but I guess we just have to ignore that bit.
And then he's kind of sad that she's like, you're okay to pursue
my sister. Yes, because now he's kind of like, oh.
I like you a little bit. Yeah.
He wants her to not be okay with it because her being okay with it suggests that she's not interested in him. She's fine with him marrying someone else.
Yeah.
But then
she gets stung by a bee.
And he freaks out.
Yeah.
He's like, she's gonna die. Like, this is it.
And he's so stressed, he goes to suck the venom out.
And she gets stung on her, I'm calling it a collarbone.
Okay. I was like, it was her neck or whatever.
Yeah, like, I mean, I'm assuming it's somewhere in the neckish collarbone area.
Yeah.
So he's sucking on her neckish collarbone area. And he's, like, in his own internal dialogue talking about how he used to taunt bees when he was young. And now he doesn't. I mean, he still does. Like, he kind of
I don't care if I die to a bee, basically.
No, but with Kate,
he's like, you can't die to a bee.
Oh, you love her!
Yeah.
But you don't know it yet.
Yeah, so he pins her to this bench and starts sucking on her neck.
And Mrs. Featherington, Lady Bridgerton, and Mrs. Sheffield are walking in the garden and they see him.
And, yeah, so blah, blah, blah. Essentially, they have to marry.
Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, so they're trying to, like... Anthony's like, no one will tell.
Yeah.
And he's like looking at Miss Lady Featherington or whatever, because it's like the only one in this group of five who's going to say that I've ruined her is you.
Yeah.
Featherington.
Yeah.
But then they're all like, but the windows were open. Anyone could have seen. And Lady Featherington's like, you were sucking on her bubbies. You have to marry her.
Yeah.
So then Anthony's like, fine, we'll marry.
Fine, great, we'll marry.
And then he's like, I would like to talk to my betrothed. And they go to, like, a gazebo.
Yeah. And then they, like, make out there.
I know. At this point, I'm like, now I'm seeing Kate's insecurities for real. Mm-hmm. Because she's like, clearly he's thinking about someone else right now.
Yeah.
She's so sure he, like, doesn't want to marry her. I'm like, dude, he would not be making out with you.
if he didn't kind of like you.
Yeah. Like, he would just... be marrying you.
Yeah.
There would be no physical attraction.
Yeah, and then they're fucking getting married in 9 days. Like, they're going.
Okay, I also, like, quoted some of the things that he says to her.
Oh, okay.
About, and I'm like, girl, how could you not know? I mean, he just says things like, I shouldn't want you, but.
Yeah.
And I mean, I guess the but is what's throwing her, but he's saying, I want you.
Yeah, he's an idiot. She's an idiot. Like, this is the point. My comment was, oh no, we're in love. Getting married would be terrible. But yeah, it's ridiculous. Chapter 15?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, they're getting married. He's all, like, stressed because he's like, uh-oh, I might be able to love her.
But he's like, it'll be fine. I'll control my emotions. Yeah. I'll just, like...
I'm a man. I'm a man. I don't have to be in love.
I can control this. It's fine. We're fine.
Yeah. And so then he's like, okay, I gotta talk to her.
She knows.
That this isn't happening. So,
So he goes to her house to tell her.
Yeah, he goes to her house to be like... He's like, there's a lot of things I'll do for you. I'm not gonna cheat on you. I'm not gonna sleep around. I'm gonna be a faithful husband. But I'm not, like, don't expect me to love you.
Yeah.
Because I'm not going to.
And then she's like, okay. And, but then he's like, pulls out a betrothal ring.
Yeah.
And he pulls her on her lap, his lap, and he's like, can we seal this conversation with a kiss? I'm like, boy. Confusing 101.
Yeah.
So now she's like, wait, what? And that I can see is confusing.
Yeah.
Because, I mean,
yeah, his words and his words actions. And his
actions, but it's taught that women must look at a man's actions above their words.
Yeah.
So she should be ignoring all that. I'm not gonna love you crap. And seeing the, here's this ring, and also, let's make out again.
Yeah, I would like to make out with you all the time. Yeah, I wrote, he suck a titty.
Oh yeah, I forgot that that happened in this part.
Yeah.
I also, okay, I have my worst line. I wrote it down wrong, though, because there's some French words in here, so we'll see how, if we can piece this together. I said it's the cheesiest, it's the cheesiest line, but it is the worst one. So I don't actually think it was cheesy, but it pissed me off. So what Anthony, it's but an Anthony thought. He says, Anthony, but Anthony knew better than to trust the female sense of time. And I was like, oh. Like, it just pissed me off so much, the like,
low-key sexism sort of thing. Yes.
I'm like, what about your sense of time? Like, I can't remember if he was talking about Kate or who at this point.
I feel like he might have been talking about Mary. Because, like, Kate was like, Mary will be back in an hour or something. Mm. And he was like, I don't know if that's true or whatever.
And I was like, men are late, too. This is not a female-male thing. This is just a person-by-person thing.
Yeah. Yeah, so chapter 16, Mary gives her the talk about, like, what to expect after this marriage. Happens.
This is one of the Bridgerton form. I started calling it the Bridgerton formula. This whole sequence was very their small wedding, the quickness of their wedding, the talk.
The talk, yeah.
It was all very similar.
Yeah.
The talk does not calm Kate in any way.
Yeah.
Because the mom basically says,
good luck.
Yeah, and she also is like, men desire all women.
Yeah.
Kate's really, like, down about this fact that he doesn't love her and desire her.
He's not going to love her.
And now her mom was like, yeah, you won't.
Yeah. Which, and it's a weird conversation, too. Like, as far as, like, the talk between mother and daughter, it left me wanting. Like, I wanted more from Mary. Like, Mary was like, I'm gonna tell my daughters, like, what's going on.
Exactly what happened in the first book, too. Like, Daphne knows even less going into the wedding night.
It's...
And I think it's supposed to be a thing.
Yeah.
The point, like...
I know what, like...
Like, the reason why it's left untold is so that it can be kind of funny during the act.
Yeah.
Which is kind of how I found both of the sex, their first encounter, sexual encounters, comical.
Yeah.
With Daphne and with Kate. But, okay. And that's why it's done. It makes the moms look bad.
Yeah. Yeah, for, like, not informing them.
Like, Kate, I mean, in season one, like, what happens with Daphne... Simon vows to never have a baby, but he tells her, I can't have children. So she thinks he's, like, physically unable, like he's, what's it called, barren?
Mm-hmm.
He is not. So when they have sex, he always pulls out and he ejaculates, like, on the bed. But she doesn't know that that's how babies are made. Like, she does not know that. So she, like, asks her maid, and the maid tells her. So then she now knows that he's, like, preventing her from getting pregnant. So their final sex thing, like... Is it their final sex, actually? I think it might be. Is that she forces him to ejaculate inside of her.
Yeah. That was apparently, like, Mom was saying that was, like, pretty controversial in the show. Like, and the book, sort of, because it was, like, sexual assault-y? Like...
In the book, it was much less.
Mm-hmm.
It was much more sexual assault-y in
the show.
The way it's kind of played off in the book is that, like, she kind of gets caught up in the moment.
Okay.
Like, she, like, but in the book, it's, like, very clear, or, sorry, in the show, it seems very clear that it's, like, a...
Deliberate choice
that she has done this.
Yeah.
And he gets mad at her in both cases, but in the book, she, like, you know, but we also get in her head, and in her head, she's like, did I do that on purpose? I don't feel like I did, but I could see how he could see that I would have done that on purpose. Like, she goes through those thoughts, and you don't get that in a show, because...
Just looks like a deliberate choice. Yeah. Like, okay.
But yeah, she knew nothing.
Yeah, going in.
Yeah, like much less than Kate, I felt like.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, so so they get married and she doesn't want to have sex
right away. And this was, I found this, like, this stuff, I just think it's so funny. Like, they're in the carriage, and she's like, could we waity wait? And he's like, why?
Yeah.
Why would we do that? And she's like, just because. I don't know. Just thought it would be a good idea.
But I think, like, at this point, she's really hesitant, because she wants to be loved.
Yeah.
Like, she's like, I want to have sex with someone I love.
Yeah.
Or who loves me.
Yeah. But she has no good reason, so.
Yeah.
They decide they will.
They will do it. Yeah, so chapter 17, we're getting into it. I wrote...
Chapter 17, okay.
Yeah. He says something like... he, like, gets naked, and he's like, you've never seen a naked man before. And she's like, no. And he's like, good, you'll never see another. Which I was, like, weird. And then my worst line was, he climbed onto the bed like a feral cat. And the reason, like, I wrote that line and I'm like, that's weird. But later she compares him to a feral cat again. Twice. And I was like, all right, that's two times too many.
I also wrote, I said, maybe this is my cheesiest line.
Oh.
And then I put in, but then I also was like, or maybe the saddest. I actually think it's the saddest. Her entire life had been preparation for this very moment, and she didn't know what to expect next. And it's not cheesy, but I was just like, her entire life was leading to her first sexual encounter.
Yeah.
Because that is specifically what was talked about. If it had been, like, about the marriage, because that's, like...
Or falling in love, or, like,
but
whatever.
But no, it was like, sex. Here it comes. He's going to penetrate me.
Yeah.
The moment I've been living, waiting for. And I'm like, this is what you're living for? Like, what? This is sad. This is a sad commentary on your life.
Yeah. So one of the things I liked about this, actually, was when he removed her ring and, like, he put it on, like, between her boobs, basically, while she was laying on her back, and then took her gloves off.
Yes.
And I was like, that was cute. Like,
and then he nice. Put it back on her
finger. Yeah. Like, that. I was like, that was very romantic. And he tells her she's beautiful while they're banging.
But she gets all insecure because she's like, I'm not beautiful.
Yeah, because she's like, I'm not Edwina. And you're thinking of Edwina right now.
Yeah.
And... what I liked about this book...
Is this the moment?
Yeah.
Okay.
They've retained their personalities during sex.
Yes. Okay. I loved that.
Right?
I was like, this feels... I said, this is so unlike TV sex.
Yeah. It's so... It's also, like, a lot of the stuff we've read, like, they just turn into dolls once they get in the bedroom, and you just bang them together, and then we're good.
And then they wrote start the scene. To have emotions and feelings and conversations again afterwards.
Yeah. But this one...
It happened throughout the whole thing.
Yeah.
I loved it.
I know. Like, she still was insecure. He was still in love with her and very in denial. Like, and they just had personalities while they were banging, which is just, it was nicer sex for that reason.
Yes. Yeah. I noted his little flaw, because he, like, notes to himself, I've never felt pleasure just looking at a woman before. Like, and yet you don't think you're going to love her. I'm like, I mean, yay that you...
That you're experiencing it now.
Feel pleasure. What else did I say? She calls it odd, their sex.
Yeah, yeah. And, like, that's
great.
Fun.
Yeah, it was great. He tickles her to break her hymen.
Never mind.
Then he calls her beautiful. That's when she stiffens.
Yeah.
Oh, he says, I burn for you, which is, like, the line from season one. So, using that again.
Oh, interesting.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Because it's the same thing. They get married. They don't think. Neither of them think that the other loves each other. And then they are going to have separate rooms for the night. And then he comes in. And then she's like, you haven't even looked at me all week. And he's like, I can't look at you because if I look at you, I burn for you. And then she's like, I burn for you. And then they have sex. Something like that.
Yeah.
I actually don't think they both say it, but...
What a coincidence. I burn for you.
But, like, literally, in the same moment, it's the same line used.
Interesting.
And I'm like, are you going to use it every book? Every book? Are you going to wonder? And then it'll be revealed during the sex. I do burn for you. No money, baby.
So...
He says it's the best sex he has ever had. And I'm like, dude, how are you going to stifle your feelings?
He's a man. He'll do it.
He'll figure it out.
Oh,
I did cry.
during their sex?
No! The next chapter.
So chapter 18, they're married and he listens to her play flute and she's bad at it.
Oh my God. It's so clear that he's in love with her.
But he's, like, trying to not. So he, like, works a lot.
Yeah,
he's, like, out all the time because he's, like, can't be home.
Yeah.
I'll be falling in love at home. But when he is home, he listens to her play the flute.
Did you cry because Edwina doesn't have to marry for money anymore?
No. Because they talk, Mary, because I skipped some stuff, but I have, my whole section now is about the storm. That might be chapter 19.
Okay, well, I was really happy. Like, Edwina was feeling a lot of pressure from, like, Kate and Mary because she loves them and stuff. Like, she was like, I have to marry Rich so that they're taken care of because Kate can't do it, like, and I'm pretty and I have to do this. And so because Kate has married Rich now, Edwina has this load off.
She, like, can marry, she can whoever.
Marry who she wants. And yeah. So she marries this guy who's an archaeologist. Yeah. It's just, I'm really happy for her.
That's sweet. And it is, like, Anthony promises he will take care of Mary. He'll mm-hmm. take care of Edwina. Like, Anthony yeah. must be loaded.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, he does have lots of houses in different places of the country. Like, he lives at the Bridgerton house, he has his own house, and he has he technically owns the, like, every Bridgerton property is his, he just doesn't spend a lot of time on them.
Yeah, and he, yeah, so he offers to give a dowry for Edwina, and so
which is also a big deal, because yeah. they don't have a dowry.
Yeah, and so Kate is like, wow, thank you, that's, like, you're genuinely treating Edwina like your sister, and she's yeah. like, you know, obviously super in love with him because of it.
That was actually also, too, something that she did notice early on and we didn't note, is that he loves family.
Yeah. And she loves her family, and yeah. so they're very,
so, like, they have that, like, mm-hmm. strongly in common.
Yeah. Yeah, so chapter 19, I just wrote storm. They talk to Mary about the death of Kate's mother.
Yeah, so this Mary just reiterates what we already talked about. And that's when I got, I guess it was because it was Mary sharing.
Yeah.
That it made more, because earlier Kate is the one saying Mary used to do this mm-hmm. at the grave. And now Mary is saying, when I married your dad, mm-hmm. I made three vows, a vow to God, mm-hmm. about the marriage, a vow to Kate to be her good mother, and a vow to Kate's mom to love Kate. Oh. And then that's when I cried.
Yeah. yeah, and so they talk about the origin of
And she's Kate's. Never wanted to tell Kate. She has known.
About.
But they've never wanted to tell her. They thought she was over it, and she yeah. hasn't, because she's been hiding it, because she yeah. doesn't want them to know that she's.
That she has, like, a phobia yeah. of storms. And so the origin story of the phobia is that when Kate's mom was really sick, she was, like, there was a storm happening, and, like, at one point, Kate came in the room when, like, Kate's mom was, like, very close to dying, and like, thunder clapped or something, and
as Mary dies.
And, yeah, like, Mary, like, not Mary, it's
or, sorry, her mom. Mom.
So the mom, like, sat up or something and then, like, opened her mouth, and it seemed like the thunder sound, like, came out of her mouth. And, like, then she just died, and so it was just really, like, really intense and traumatic for baby Kate, who then was, like, wouldn't let go of her mom and was, like, really upset, and, yeah. And so they were like, oh, it's okay. She got over the phobia of storms. We don't need to tell her about this traumatic incident and remind her.
But she just started hiding it.
Yeah. And she didn't know and whatever.
So then she finds out Anthony's there to support her mm-hmm. because he just cares for her as a wife, but not lovingly.
Yeah.
And, like, they're all crying. Like, Anthony's crying. Kate's crying. Mary, like, they're all hugging.
Yeah. And so then later, Kate talks about dying. And, like, about how she, you know, about her, how her mom died really young. And how
she finally feels, like, free.
Yeah, and she's like, I want to just do things, like, I want to play the flute badly because I don't know how much time I'll have. Like, because her parents are dead, and she's like, I just have to make the most of the time I have left, basically.
And Anthony's like, I get it, but I'm not going to talk to you about it.
Yeah, so he runs away. Like, I think he also, he realizes he's in love with her, and he's like, oh no, I did the thing. And he panics and runs away.
Because he's like, I couldn't figure out his age, but I was like, he's like 5 to 8 years away from 38.
From the death, yeah.
And he's like, I don't have time.
Yeah. Because she says something like, we're going to be together always and forever or something like that. And he's like, there's no forever. There's 5 years. And I liked that she didn't have a big emotional breakdown at this point. She was just like, okay.
He's gone.
Bye. Like, good luck with whatever weird like, shit whatever you're on.
Need to work through.
Yeah.
Yeah. The thing that she says, though, so, like, now he's, like, left, and she's, like, reflecting on herself.
Yeah.
And she says, weakness never gets anyone anywhere. And I really didn't like that line.
Yeah.
I, like, contemplated about it. Like, because she's, like, sitting there hoping for a storm to be, like, look, I'm better. Mm-hmm. To prove how strong she is. And she has always said that she didn't talk about her fears because it made her weak. And I was just, like, I don't know.
I didn't feel like that wasn't the lesson that we got from this whole experience.
No.
Yeah.
No. I was like, weakness is what pushes you to grow.
Yeah.
Without weakness, you're nothing.
And like,
I don't know.
You have to acknowledge the vulnerability.
Yeah.
To grow from it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know, man.
Yeah. I was just like, that's the wrong takeaway, Kate. Yeah. You missed it.
Yeah. You missed the mark on your, like, you had a growth moment, but your thoughts on it are not right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so chapter 21, he goes to Bridgerton, and
he's, like, hiding out. And then who calls her? Eloise?
Yeah, Eloise calls like, her and is like,
he's here.
He's here.
I'm talking to him.
Yeah, he just doesn't seem good.
He hasn't left his office in days.
Yeah. So they go there, and they have a fight. And then, I don't remember how or why, but Anthony thinks Kate died in a carriage accident.
Yeah, so, well, they fight, and now he's freaking out. Because now he's like, not only am I going to die, but now I can't protect the woman I love because I'm going to be dead. Like, he is freaking out. But then she gets in a carriage accident.
Yeah. She's with...
Edwina.
Yeah.
She's meeting Edwina's guy.
Okay.
And he's taking them on a carriage ride.
Yeah.
And he's gone... I guess they've had this fight. She's left. And now he's realized, like, I have to tell her.
Yeah.
Like,
so then he rides out on a horse to go find them. And then
he sees the carriage crash.
Yeah.
He's like, she's dead.
Yeah.
And then as she's, like, trapped in the carriage, he starts, like, saying to God, like...
Yeah, he's all, like... He finally, like, is like, this isn't it. It was supposed to be me and, like, all this weird stuff.
And Kate hears all of it. So she's like, want to talk to me?
Do you want to
hear the things you were saying while I was trapped under the carriage?
Yeah, because she's fine.
Her leg is broken. But other than that, she's fine.
Yeah, so he finally tells her about all the things, and then they're fine. Like, I wrote speeches over. Like, that was it. Like, they do their speeches, and yeah.
Yeah, and he decides that he should just make the best of whatever life he has.
Yep.
And she's like, I love that you told me.
Yep.
We'll be happy.
They're great.
And I think they talk about how quickly she can have sex again after the broken leg.
Yeah, they do. Yeah.
And then we have an epilogue where we find out where they go.
Yeah, and the epilogue is just that he's 39.
And he lived.
And he lived. Like, he makes it to 39. And they have a son named Miles. And they play instruments.
They play Pall Mall again.
Oh, yeah.
They play Pall Mall, and they do it every year. The same six players go to play. Like, Simon, Daphne, Harry.
I gotta be honest with you, there was an epilogue and a second epilogue.
Oh, I read the second epilogue. This was the second epilogue.
Did not read the second epilogue.
The second epilogue is they go to play Pall Mall again, and every year, I actually think it's quite fun. You should read it. You've already had to bring it back,
didn't
you?
I did.
All right, so now we are going to rate Mr. Anthony. Okay, now you've read it. Do you understand why it was hard for me to place him?
Yeah. Yeah, I do. Okay, so
overall, should we just say, like, how do we feel?
Yeah,
about Anthony
how
Bridgerton?
Sexy was he? The thing is, I liked Kate better.
I know Kate was great.
Kate was phenomenal.
Yeah.
Anthony, like
he had his moments. I thought that his deflowering of Kate was good.
Yep.
I thought, you know, like, his moments of not bullying or stopping the bully and...
Yeah, it didn't feel like he had enough of those.
No.
Like, he had so...
I don't think those all surpassed
how much time he spent thinking about how he was going to die soon.
And how he was not going to marry for love, and how he was going to control his emotions with his wife, and how he was going to have mistresses, and...
Yeah, he just was, like, a little flat on those marks, so... Yeah, I don't know. Okay.
Now you have to remind me. Jonah's wild. The wild man.
Yep.
Luke.
Is the alien boy.
Right. And Wade is the
old man. Yeah, old dementia man.
I would put him in that zone. Somewhere with those three.
Yeah. He was sort of Jonah-esque.
Yeah. Jonah and him actually had very similar arcs in we were meant to hate Jonah.
Yeah.
And then we grew to, you're meant to grow to love him. I don't think Jonah's flaws were as big as Antony's, though.
Yeah,
I think it was easier to get over Jonah.
Yeah.
Because he was more, I felt like Jonah's was more that she just misunderstood who he was as a human.
Yeah.
Antony was the things that we didn't like about him. It wasn't a misunderstanding.
Yeah. We knew.
So I would maybe put him below Jonah. But did you find him more attractive than Jonah? Is that what you're struggling with? It feels like you're struggling.
No, I'm trying to, remember Jonah is what I'm struggling with.
Oh.
And it's also, I think, I hated Jonah's girl so much. It's so strange, assessing a guy's hotness when you're I don't like your choices in life, you know?
Yes.
Yeah, I think Jonah was hotter. Yeah?
Okay. Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so below Jonah.
Okay, so
Number six.
I feel like that's the first time we've had a good one in a while. Actually, we read Wade recently. No, we didn't. I'm so confused. I listened to Wade recently.
Yeah.
How long ago did we read it then? I don't know.
I know.
Well, that's that.
Yeah. Thanks for listening. Check us out on Instagram at Women Writing Men, or go check out our website if you want to look at the rankings. We have links to a lot of the books if you want to look at the books we've read. And
or our Patreon.
Or we have Patreon.
Where you can help support us.
Yeah, if you are interested in that. There's various perks at the different tiers. And thanks for listening.
Have a good day.
Bye.